Welcome to Lessons from a PhD, where every single episode teaches you different lessons to make your PhD and career journey easier. Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Anna A.O., and I'm your host for Lessons from a PhD. First of all, I just want to thank everyone who has been tuning in to my podcast, my past three episodes, and thank you for even tuning in today. Honestly, this was a very new thing for me. I've never done a podcast before, so I wasn't really sure just in terms of how it would turn out and even who would listen to me, but I've been receiving a lot of great feedback, and I'm really thankful that my personal journey and story and even the things that I have to say has helped you guys and encouraged you guys. So thank you. And if it has encouraged you, I do suggest that, you know, you click the follow button and so you can get notified when a new episode comes out, and also share it with people. Share it with people that you think would benefit from this podcast, and share it with someone that you think could be encouraged from this podcast as well. So speaking of encouragement, that's going to flow nicely into today's topic. We are going to be discussing the importance of finding your tribe, finding that group of people that are supportive of you, the people that can relate to you, the people that can push you forward in life, and how it took me a while to find that group of people, but when I did, everything changed. Now, in my previous episode, I spoke a little bit about my PhD journey and some of the obstacles that I had to overcome, and I really emphasized the importance of being resilient. But the one thing that I also realized as well, and I realized this about midway during my PhD, it was kind of when I had that crisis after the first couple years, and I was like, I have nothing to show for my PhD. So I realized that I couldn't do this on my own. Yes, I was getting a degree by myself, and at the end of the day, that degree would have been handed specifically to me and no one else. But I realized that it takes a village to get a PhD. You know how typically people say, you know, it takes a village to raise a child? Well, think of a PhD as a child. It takes a village to get a PhD. You need people around you that are going to be in your corner, people around you that are going to support you, that are going to look out for you, the people that will help you along the way. And I realized that, and at that time, I didn't really have a lot of people around me. I mean, I had my family and some of my friends, but I wasn't very open in terms of the struggles I was going through, because I also felt like because they weren't in my program, no one could really relate. Like, yes, they could probably empathize with me, and they did, but I just felt like no one really understood what I was going through. So during that time, I was like, okay, I really need to find people that are like-minded, you know, people that look like me, that maybe understand some of the struggles that I'm going through, being the only Black woman in my program, being the first generation of my family to get a PhD and not really knowing how to navigate the system. I need to find those kind of people just to really help me, you know, push through this degree. You know, and sometimes I find it's easy to find your tribe, and I find that sometimes it's easy for just, you know, the people around you to become your tribe naturally. But I felt that at that specific time, I had to make an effort and look for the tribe of people that I wanted around me. And I think what really pushed me to do that was during my PhD, I think I mentioned in the previous episode how, you know, I felt very alone. And even though I was working with other students in the lab, I felt very excluded from my lab group. So just to kind of give an idea, I felt like my lab environment wasn't very inclusive. And when I first joined the lab, it had been a group of students who had been together for about 2 to 3 years prior to me joining, and they had already formed a very tight bond. So me coming in as someone new, I often felt very excluded from, you know, their inside jokes and their discussions and such like that. And also I felt that I was very different from them as well. So I'll give an example. So during that period of time, I was really working on my relationship with God and, you know, taking my walk with God very seriously. And I decided that I was not going to drink alcohol at all. right? And so that was my own personal decision. But my lab was really big on, you know, socializing and doing get-togethers and going away together. And usually those get-togethers involved alcohol. And I didn't mind going to those get-togethers, but I was just adamant on, I'm not drinking. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm just not going to drink, right? Which is my business. But then I remember probably the first week that I started, or like the first couple of weeks that I started, one of the lab members invited me to a get together that they were doing. And then she asked me how I liked a certain drink. And I told her, I was like, oh, I actually don't drink. And the way that I thought that I offended her by saying that I didn't drink, like, you would have thought that I actually insulted her, you know? And I remember they made the biggest deal about this, even to the point where it got to my supervisor that I didn't drink, and he made a huge deal about it as well. And that was kind of like the running joke in the lab, like, oh, Anna doesn't drink. And you know, you can hee hee and ha ha and make fun of me for not drinking. I really don't care. But I think it was the fact that, you know, it's a personal choice that I made, and it was something that made me different. And you're using that difference against me to exclude me from different things in the lab, you know? And so with that, plus me already feeling excluded on top of that from the start, I think that's what really just drove me to look outside of my environment, look outside of my lab, and go and seek people that I could actually build a tribe with, and people that could support me. So I remember I was complaining to my sister about this, and actually, I just want to pause and shout out my sister Phoebe, because she's the one that's always pushing me to do certain things and to step out of my comfort zone and giving me such great ideas. Like, she's the one that actually pushed me to do this podcast. So the reason that you're hearing my voice on this podcast is simply because of her. So thank you so much, Phoebe, for always pushing me to do great things. So yeah, I was speaking to my sister and kind of complaining how, like, I felt like I didn't really have a community. I don't really know anyone that looks like me, that's similar to me doing a PhD. And she was like, well, why don't you just look on social media? She's like, why don't you actually just start sharing what you do from day to day on social media? Because I'm sure a lot of other people that are doing their PhD, you know, also don't think that there are a lot of people that look like them. And maybe that can attract other minorities doing their PhD or Black women into your page, and you can build a community from there. So I thought that was such a genius idea. And I didn't know that it was a thing to kind of share your day to day and share, you know, science and what you do as a PhD on social media. But when I started posting about science and doing science communication on social media, and even just showing people the behind the scenes of a PhD, like, here's the experiment that I'm doing today, or, you know, these are all the tests that I have to mark today, this is what I do on the day to day, and even sharing science communication as well, and breaking down science to make it palatable to the general population. And I realized that when I started, there were a lot of other accounts that were doing something similar, and a lot of Black women that were also sharing their experiences about their PhD journey as well. And I remember reading some of their experiences, and they would make posts about certain microaggressions that happened to them and different situations and being the only Black person at a conference. And I remember seeing those posts and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one that goes through this. And there's just something about that comfort, knowing that you're not the only one, right? Like, you're not crazy. Like, it's not just you. There's something that brings you comfort about that. And I realized that when I started putting myself out there and putting, you know, my work out there and my experiences out there, I realized that I wasn't alone. And the nice thing about social media too is that no matter where you are in the world, you can be connected to anyone. So I was able to connect with women that were doing their PhD in science programs, you know, in the US, across Canada, even in Ghana and in the UK. So I was able to build a community, even people that I've never met face to face, but was able to build a community of Black women and other minorities that were doing a PhD, and also just share similar experiences with them. And so that community, I felt, really helped me during my PhD. I don't know if anyone that I encountered, you know, on social media back in those days is listening to this, but just seeing different people's posts, seeing, you know, people's day to day and how similar it was to mine, what they were going through, and celebrating other people's wins as well. Like, for example, if I was following someone during their PhD journey and I saw that maybe they submitted their thesis or they passed an exam or they passed their defense, I would be celebrating with them because you feel like you were with them through that journey, you know? So it was just really great. And I felt that, you know, having that community really did make my PhD experience a lot better. Now, another thing that finding my tribe helped me fight was imposter syndrome. Now, I remember going through my PhD, and I would say even just going through school, going through my master's PhD, I always felt like I wasn't supposed to be there. Like, I never felt comfortable. And I didn't know that it was coined as the term imposter syndrome, but I always felt like, you know, I was a fraud. Like, they're going to figure me out. Like, I'm going to get kicked out of my program because I'm not supposed to be there. They're going to realize that I don't know anything because at that time I felt like I didn't know anything. And then I remember, you know, when I started putting myself out there on social media, then that's when I heard the term imposter syndrome. And I think I even went to a talk about someone talking about imposter syndrome. And when I learned what the term meant, I'm like, oh, that's how I've been feeling. Like, that's exactly how I've been feeling for all this time. But, you know, seeing that there were other Black women that were also doing a PhD made me feel a little more comfortable that, okay, maybe I am supposed to be here. Maybe this is a space that I'm supposed to be in. Because, you know, oftentimes it's difficult to be the only one, to be the only one in a situation. Because essentially you're looking around and you're thinking, okay, I'm the only person here that looks like me. Maybe I'm not supposed to be here. And then you begin to doubt your abilities, which could manifest into you not applying to a scholarship that you're more than eligible for, or you not putting out that paper that you did all this research for. And so I found that I just had a mental battle with myself for a long time in my PhD, just really fighting the fact that, yes, I am supposed to be here. Yes, I'm smart enough to be in this program. And it doesn't matter that I don't know anything. The fact that I'm in this PhD program means that I'm learning, right? If I already knew everything, why would I be in a PhD program? There would be no point. So everyone is at the same stage that you are. You're not the only one that is alone in this journey. So having and finding my tribe of people to support me, the people that look like me, the people that could encourage me, people I could relate to, I found really, really helped. Now, I also want to tie this into representation and why representation matters. So in the past few years, there's been a lot of talk when it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion, representation, and why it matters. And I truly believe that it does matter. Because when you think about it, if you don't identify with someone or something, just naturally, you'll mentally disqualify yourself from that thing or from that person. So for example, if I'm at a party with a group of people, okay, different groups of people, and I'm just going to use race as a factor because, you know, it's an easy example. So say I'm at a party with different groups of people. There's a group of white people, there's a group of Asians, there's a group of Black people, and I don't know anyone at the party. And I'm trying to think of, okay, you know, who can I talk to first to kind of break the ice? I'm probably going to be gravitated more towards the Black group of people because they look like me. I'm comfortable with, you know, being around my own kind. I'm used to being around Black people. That's the group I'm going to gravitate more towards, just naturally. So I find that we often do this when it comes to choosing our careers or thinking about what it is we actually want to accomplish and achieve and do in this life. And I always give the example of a child, okay? When you were a little child, what exactly did you want to be? I can give my example, okay? When I was a child, I didn't really know much about the world and what was out there. I wanted to be like someone who I admired, someone that I looked like, someone that I felt embodied me. So for example, when I turned on the TV and I saw Beyoncé and she's a Black woman, she's beautiful, she's dancing, she's singing, what's the first thing I want to be? I want to be a singer. I want to be a backup dancer. right? I want to be an actress because those are the people that I'm seeing on TV and they look beautiful. They're black and, you know, it's a person that I can identify with. So that's typically how our mind works psychologically. If we can't identify with certain people in those positions, it's going to be hard for us to think that we can actually attain those positions and make it there. It's going to be challenging for us. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's challenging for you to think of yourself in that position if you don't identify with the person that is in that position. So, you know, my own personal example, growing up, I didn't know any black scientists. I had never seen a black woman or a black man who was just a scientist, you know, who was doing research, maybe working in a lab. I did not see that. So it wasn't in my purview, you know, it wasn't on my agenda just because I wasn't exposed to that. And I couldn't identify with anyone that was in that position. All I saw was white men. Because you turn on the TV, who do you see? Bill Nye the Science Guy. He's a white man, right? But I didn't see any cartoons or any TV shows that had black women or men as scientists. So I couldn't see myself there. And I think that that's honestly why I had that mental battle with myself of when I was working towards being a scientist, because I was fighting that mental battle of, okay, I'm going to be the first of, because I don't know anyone that looks like me in this position, until I went out and found a community of people that did look like me and that I could identify with. And it allowed me to see myself getting a PhD, you know, to see myself doing chemistry experiments, becoming a scientist. It made me see myself in that light because I saw people that looked like me. So, you know, just want to end this off by saying, if you're a minority in a workplace and you feel like you don't belong and you're facing imposter syndrome, know that you're not alone and know that many people have been through the same situation, are currently going through the same situation. But I also want to challenge you to go out and find a group of people that will help you get out of that situation. So I want to challenge you to find your tribe. Find the people that will support you, find the people that will cheer you on, root for you, and push you towards where you're going to be and help you fight those mental battles that you've been fighting by yourself. Now, for the Black women who are pursuing graduate school in a STEM degree, I also want to leave some resources for you as well, because these are some groups that I joined when I was going through my PhD that I felt really helped me. And these groups helped support me through my journey, either by providing resources, by providing mentorship, by providing networking opportunities. And it made the experience, the PhD experience and grad school experience, a lot more smoother. So if you are a Black woman or man who is pursuing a graduate STEM degree in Canada, I would advise you to look up CBSN, which is the Canadian Black Scientists Network. And they are a network that's based out of the University of Toronto, but caters to all Canadians, all Black Canadians who are in STEM programs. And it's a nice little community that provides a lot of resources going through your PhD. They provide job opportunities. They provide networking opportunities, mentorship opportunities. That was actually, I think, the first mentorship program that I was involved in. And I got paired with an amazing mentor that really helped and supported me through the last couple years of my PhD and even transitioning into a postdoc as well. So it's a really great community that I would encourage you guys to look up. Again, it's called the Canadian Black Scientists Network. Now, if you are a Black woman, Canada or the US, and I think also international too, I'm pretty sure they cater to international Black women who are in STEM. I suggest that you also look up STEM Noir as well as Cohort Sisters. Okay, so STEM Noir and Cohort Sisters are based out of the US, but let me just start with STEM Noir, actually. So this is a group of Black women that came together in the US, and they started this network of Black women scientists, you know, doing their PhDs, doing their masters, and they do conferences every single year. So I think last year they did a conference in Puerto Rico and I really wanted to go, but it was during a really busy period of my life. And I know they're having another conference as well. I think it's sometime this summer in somewhere in the States. I can't remember. But yeah, STEM Noir, it's a really great organization to join. And I'm sure if you were to join, you would find a lot of, you know, similar, like-minded Black women in STEM that you can connect with. So Cohort Sisters is another network of Black PhDs. I don't think it's just limited to STEM. I think it's all PhDs. So they provide a lot of resources as well, resources for networking. There's also a podcast for Cohort Sisters, which is great because the podcast host shares different stories from different PhDs, and it's really inspiring as well. So I would suggest that you look that up as well. And shameless plug, I'm going to throw in my organization as well. So if you are an African woman and you are pursuing STEM, either undergraduate or graduate degree, or you're a young professional, you should look up my organization called Empowering Female Minds in STEM, also known as EFEMS for short. So in EFEMS, we're an organization that help support African women in their STEM degrees. And we have different programs such as mentorship programs. We do masterclasses where we teach professional development. So we bring in speakers to teach on different topics pertaining to professional development. And we also have an annual boot camp that occurs in Accra, Ghana. So the one for this year is projected for this fall. So look out for that. But also it's a wonderful group of African women that come together, because I started it because I really found the importance of building a community and I really saw how it helped me. So I also wanted to build a community for my African women. And so I encourage you guys to check that out, become a member and get involved. All right. So I'm going to end this podcast episode here, but thank you guys again for listening. And remember that you can't do this life alone. So find your tribe.